Episode 103.
Every time a door opened, I'd walk through it in life, and I was lucky enough to have doors open. And then, you know, so the scariest thing is writing the IRS a check, right? You're buying a failed business from the IRS, you know, and having faith.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening and downloading this show from Remarkable Results Radio, iTunes, or Stitcher Radio. And thanks for following our insider email announcing each new episode guest. And welcome right now to episode 103 with Dave Erb. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. Hey, I would appreciate your input by completing our very quick online survey. Oh, it would really do me a big favor if you did it. It helps me understand you, my listener. Find it at the bottom of the homepage. Now, meet Dave Erb. What makes this interview interesting is that Dave had been a service professional entrepreneur and recently sold his business to an investor group. Now, with many shop owners looking at succession plans, Dave's story will resonate. He bought his first shop from the IRS, created a website when websites were in their infancy, and was a two-time winner of the ASE NAPA Technician of the Year. So why listen? Appreciate Dave's rip-off and duplicate method of implementing new ideas. Great stuff. Find out the subject of his Leadership 2.0 project, because his group won first prize. And learn about Dave's passion for marketing. Now, besides teaching the auto repair shop section for the University of the Aftermarket at Northwood University, listen to how Dave has parlayed his aftermarket experience into a new endeavor with Hire Frederick, an extremely intelligent marketing platform that automatically triggers the right marketing to the right people at the right time. Now, here we go with Dave Erb. Enjoy. Excited to be with Dave Erb, former shop owner, and now with Hire Frederick. And you're down in Austin, Texas, right, Dave?
That is correct. The beautiful town of Austin, Texas. Beautiful weather.
Here I'm up in the Northeast. We've had an interesting winter. And, of course, everyone now knows we're recording in the deep of the winter. So, hey, I'm glad you're with us. Now, look, a former shop owner. There's probably a million guys on this listening that say, Oh, interesting. Well, how did he do that? What do you mean, former shop owner? And why is he on the podcast? And that is because you found life after being a shop owner.
Absolutely, yes.
Cool. Well, we're going to talk about that. But I really want to find out was, what got you into being a shop owner? You told me a great story. I got to hear this when you were 17.
Yeah, I was 17 years old, and I can actually thank it to a degree to my brother, who's a couple years older than I am. My parents are very much, you know, whatever is yours is yours. Your mail's private, and your own pieces are your own pieces, or ownership or whatever it is. Uh-huh. And my brother got his license, before I did, and he was driving my mom's car, got a ticket, and they took the car away from him. So my young brain said, "Well, I better get my own car." So when I was 16, I bought a truck and a car and a truck that had no engine and a car, and kind of married the two together. So when I got my license, I had my own vehicle. And of course I got tickets, but they couldn't take the car away from me. So it worked out just fine. So that kind of started me down the path of, you know, in high school, working at parts stores, and then right out of high school, moved out of the house, right out of high school, and was working at shops and worked my way up through every job in the industry, from tire buster, oil change, to apprentice, to eventually master tech, management roles. Had an opportunity in 97, the shop I was working for, very busy shop, but some missteps on the owner's part led to some problems with the IRS, and so I ended up buying my first shop from the IRS, and my wife and I worked it, as you can imagine, as all shop owners know, you live it and breathe it for 24/7, and all that kind of fun stuff. And then 3 years later, doing very well, bought the land next door, built a building, moved it. It's an amazing process going from It's almost a if you build it, they will come. You know, we doubled our size and almost immediately doubled our business, you know, so that was crazy. And then a couple of years after that, Napa store, because we're a Napa Auto Care Center, a Napa store calls and says, hey, we have one right next door to us down here in the southern part of Austin. I was in North Austin, going out of business. So we looked at it and bought that one and turned it around, and then bought another building a couple of years after that and moved that one, remodeled a building and moved that one. So we, you know, so we ended up owning a couple of buildings and you know, several businesses, and then got to a point where we had one child, we had one kid, and it took us quite a bit to have him. You know, the old story with the can't get pregnant and all the drugs and, you know, fertility stuff, and
sure,
finally got,
sure, yeah,
got the one kid, and he was, what, 7, 8, 9, you know, 7, 8 years old, and two shops and doing it a couple of times and really, really loving the growth process and really loving the marketing piece and growing a shop was great, but the stress of the day-to-day and our industry is kind of fading as far as talent's concerned, so it was getting harder and harder to find technicians
and
employee stuff and everything, you know. I'm the kind of guy that, as a lot of us are, that's probably a harder time saying great job to my employees when we get a great review, because that's the way it's designed, right? I mean, it's the way it's supposed to go. We're supposed to do great service for our customers and get these great reviews, and everybody's happy. And as soon as someone was unhappy, it crushed me much more than the other ones made me happy, you know? So whenever there's a problem, you know, it just weighed on me a lot. So the stress got to me, and I wanted to spend more time with my son. So I sold one of my shops, and the people that bought it did very well with it. And I stayed on was I married them to one of my managers on the sale, so I had good process and procedures and culture moving forward. And they did very well with it and grew the brand and opened up a couple of other stores. So I was comfortable after they, you know, got that one, first one paid off, selling in the other one and getting out completely.
Great stories. I mean, this is a great story. Let's jump up to the fact that you sold your business now recently, right?
Yeah, the first one I sold 3 years ago. The last one I sold about a year ago now. And I still work with them in the capacity of marketing and just advisory on any issues they might, you know, have.
So. And during your tenure as a shop owner, you went to Leadership 2.0, didn't you?
Leadership 2.0. I was fortunate enough and lucky enough to got hooked up with Automotive Training Institute, which taught me, you know, from going from mechanic managers to owner. And sit on one of their 20 groups, which met some of the best. I've met some and become great friends with some of the best shop owners across the country. And I'm able to R&D their stuff, you know, rip off and duplicate a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, rip off and duplicate.
So Leadership 2.0 and a couple of advisory boards, and just been an unbelievable life for a guy that barely got out of high school. You know?
Okay, so you were deep in it. You participated, you learned, you were in 20 groups, you found yourself a coach, you did really well, and you said, hey, what's next?
Right, what's next? I want to spend as much time with my son as possible, coach his teams, travel with the wife while we're still, you know, young enough to get in and out of airplanes and walk up and down the stairs and go mountain climbing or whatever, you know? So, sold out. It's been a great deal. We were lucky enough to have the foresight to, you know, have buildings that now we can lean on that rent money. And
But let me ask you a question. Who'd you sell to? Was it an employee?
It was an investor, a guy that was just looking to, get into a business, you know, have a ownership of a business and have to be that entrepreneur and all that kind of stuff. And he didn't have any real business in mind. And I got with a broker on the first one and he introduced me to the guy. And then my thought was that this guy's not an automotive guy and I don't want it to. And I've advised other shops and I coach other shops sometimes. And I've seen the what can happen with a non-automotive guy who didn't come up through the business can do to a business, not always, but sometimes get into that business and not know all the quirks and the, I don't know, the angst of going through all of it. So it can fail. So I said, great, you know, I'm glad to sell this to you. And all the numbers worked and he was happy. I was happy, but the bank and I both wanted somebody with a little more experience. So I took my best manager who embraced everything that I embraced and has my culture and understands our brand and our ideals, and I married the two together and made them, you know, co-investors basically.
Okay. And are you doing any kind of coaching for this management team?
Yep. So I do most of their marketing. So they've opened, now they own like 6 shops now. 4 of them are buy branded, 2 are others that they bought that were had good enough reputations to stay that the other brand. And I help them trigger all the marketing, get up and running, work with them on process and procedures and any advisory capacity they need to lean on, you know, me for. And which is a great deal, keeps me involved, keeps me making sure that they're doing the right things. Just an example, all the different review sites and anything, anytime there's a review, it triggers an email to me so I can make sure that the brand and reputation stays solid.
Got it.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. You know, Dave, I've heard in past episodes where the discussion about entrepreneurs or investors buying automotive service repair business is and can be a trend. And here, it absolutely happened to you. But you also had the wherewithal to say to the investor, listen, you know, as much as I want to be proud of the fact that, you know, you can't be successful, but you can, but there's certain things you've got to do to make that happen. Now, once he's in this for a while, he's probably going to, you know, have 10, 12 shops, right?
I think that's his goal. He seems to be really aggressively going after, you know, growth. And I think he's, you know, he's got some investment people on the backside now that instead of having to do banks every time, he's got some people. So, yeah, he's been, and they do a great job with it. I mean, I'm really, really proud of the brand growth. And you know, the thing I'm really proud of is not only in my businesses, but across the country is, and true the other way around, I've stolen stuff that works well in my business. But there's a lot of things I've created process-wise, procedure-wise, philosophy-wise that works well across other shops. But it's nice to see that, you know, all the templated, written out things, the culture is repeatable and works well, you know. So
it's great to know that some of the things you've done still have legs for other people. Yeah. It's great.
Yep.
Anything holding you back right now?
Personally?
Yeah.
Not really. You know, I mean, I'll tell you, it's I wake up every day just going, this is just an incredible life. You know, the wife and I were smart enough you know, not to get done with the money. We've cleared all the debt out of our lives and you know, paid off one of our buildings. So that's kind of our, you know, backup standpoint. And right now working with Frederick has been an unbelievable experience. It was a chance meeting with a CEO. I've always been a marketing guy within the industry. That's kind of, you know, the 20 groups I sit on, everybody's kind of got their niche of what they're known for. You know, some guys are extremely, even to this day, I've got, you know, friends that are in their 60s that just love being on the counter, you know, selling work. And they've got guys that are, you know, incredible layout people as far as organizing a shop. And I've always been kind of the marketing guy. And I just love that aspect of it. You know, I was like one of the first shops to get a website when the internet came out.
Yeah, tell me about that. I heard, you know, when we had our pre-call, you said, before websites were ever websites, you had your own and you built your own.
Yeah. So that was the internet first came out, you know, and websites started to become a thing. Of course, you're still advertising Yellow Pages and sending out newsletters and postcards. And then this internet thing comes along, and I just immediately saw it as like, you know, this is going to be it. This is going to be what everything's going to go to. And Napa came out with had a partner that had some of these templated kind of websites that you could log in and I could change pictures and so I did a lot of that, and I really started tracking it and looking at it and seeing the incredible growth. And of course, being in Austin, college town, tech town, it really grew quickly. Before I knew it, we had no Yellow Pages. It was much cheaper. You could, as far as like Yellow Pages are concerned, you buy an ad. If it works, great. If it doesn't, you're stuck with it for a year,
Right, right. And you spent big money.
You spent big money, right? So it came to websites and ads and, AdWords, you could change that tomorrow and have a response, And then of course, that led right into this incredible thing that we never had before. 20 years ago, we had a very reactive type model. You'd show up and there was enough work to walk through the door every day that you couldn't handle it. And then cars got built better and they're more expensive and they last longer. And those water pumps and all those brakes that went out every 30,000 miles now are going 100, and cars can make it to 200. So now we need to be more proactive.
Yeah.
Courtesy checks and maintenance plans and all that. So CRM programs started to become more and more relevant. And then that's going to kind of led me to Frederick, So I sold out of businesses. I met this guy at a party and we're talking marketing, and he's got this startup called, hirefrederick.com. It's much, much more dynamic, intelligent than anything I'd seen before. It didn't just have the static pieces that, today somebody comes in, tomorrow they get this and that. Frederick actually will look at the habits and history and trends within in the automotive or any, shop or business we work with,
right,
and trigger marketing intelligently based on what the habits of that customer is, what the trend is within that business.
It's kind of like a funnel.
Yeah, it's kind of like a funnel, but it's kind of, without doing a complete demo and going too far into it, it's really hard to explain, but it's has so much intelligence behind how it's approached. It even tests itself. So it tests like subject lines and frequency and whether someone opens text or responds to text or email more.
So it's smart. It's really smart.
It's a very intelligent algorithm and much more impactful than anything I've used before.
Were they into automotive until you arrived?
Well, like I said, it's about a year and a half, and they were literally a startup that were just testing the grounds. And if you can imagine, it's a software to say you were a spa or salon and you have a last minute opening for a table or chair that's going to go by the wayside. And we see that in the calendar. Frederick will actually say, okay, that's that type of service. It's tomorrow. Let's find the people that are out of the normal rhythm but usually come in for that time, date, or that type of service, and let's align that marketing to them. And it automatically does that. So that was the idea behind it. This really intelligent, rich, data driven marketing that just wasn't static, that would change itself and learn as it went. And we started talking about whether it worked in the automotive world. And so what we did was, me owning several shops and having several friends, we tested it against other CRM pieces, and it blew the doors off. So we're like, okay, it will work in the automotive, even though the automotive world doesn't use a calendar in the same way. Our calendars aren't real because you have a 6 tow-ins show up tomorrow and 5 check engine lights. And so you don't really look at the schedule, but you can see trends and you can see history and habits of people. And we tested again, like I said, in our shops, bounced directly against other CRM pieces and blew the doors off. So yeah, we've been developing that, and it's fantastic. It's so cool because we're in a lot of shops now, and we're still in the stages of growth that we can say, oh, we've had 6 people ask for this feature. Boom, let's build it, and
Got
have it out
yeah.
In a couple of weeks. So it's been fantastic.
So is it as long as you've got a brainiac who can write the algorithm, you could probably do anything?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the engineer team is unbelievable. They're way over my head. I'm more of the big picture. This is how it should work and why it should work this way. And this is why it's needed. Like, just as an example, we're building a maintenance feature that we're calling Shop Velocity Maintenance because of the OE, original equipment manufacturer schedule, is really designed to sell somebody a car and then get them into another car as fast as possible, right? It doesn't really take into account someone who walks through my door and says, I want to keep this car for 200,000 miles, pass it down to my kids. How do I get there? Well, that looks like this. And it's a maintenance program, that does, this many checks a year. And then, just do fluid flushes every 30K. So you can plug that right into Frederick, tell Frederick what your code is for that in your system. And we can re-trigger the marketing automatically as opposed to you having to remember.
Or in the same thing when the dentist says to you, would you like to keep your teeth?
Right.
It's really, really important.
Really important. Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of education on the front end that gets done in shops. And then Frederick's going to bring that reminder back in that it's time to do it again. And there's a lot of programs out there that people run that'll even extend warranties by getting on their maintenance plan. So we can really help people create a predictive model business model through, you know, proper maintenance, proper reminding, and good, you know, good practices engaging your customers.
Well, it sounds like a fabulous move for you. Sell the business, get hooked up with Hire Frederick, and be able to take your passion for marketing and connect it to the service business. Wow.
It's exactly right. And the funny thing is that when it came to Hire Frederick and talking to these guys, we're not only passionate about, you know, the product, but just helping. I love to help. I love to see growth. And I'm so frustrated when you try to help somebody and they fall, you know, and it's
But falling sometimes, you know, I remember John Maxwell saying fail forward. And right. If you can do it like that, then you've got experience now.
Yep, that's true. That's exactly right. So yeah, we love, you know, like I said, very much passionate about growth and helping and just helping brick and mortar mom and pop businesses, you know, get it done. So it's awesome.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com. The boldest decision you've ever made.
Well, the scariest decision or boldest, I would say, is that first shop I bought. You know, I hope it doesn't sound like I had some grand plan going into this. I literally was just willing to, because I didn't have any, how you say, you know, at that time I didn't have a kid. I was just married, but we didn't have much debt. I was willing to try anything, right? So every time a door opened, I'd walk through it in life, and I was lucky enough to have doors open, and then, you know, so the scariest thing is writing the IRS a check, right? You're buying a failed business from the IRS, you know, and having faith.
So that was your biggest risk you ever took on?
I would say, other than, you know, the normal family stuff and having a kid and all that, that was the biggest business risk I ever took.
So describe for me, what was it like? Cold sweats, couldn't sleep. What was the feeling back then?
Well, you know, it was actually a lot like the night before you get married, you know, and you have the same, you know, thoughts running through your head, you know, and what if it fails, and what if, you know, but I always had the same attitude about any of this. Like, you know, I would hate myself more if I didn't try it than if I'd failed. And of course, you know, the childlike stuff runs through your head where, you know, your friends, your family is going to be disappointed in you, but you can always say, look, I tried it. You know, how many people actually go through the process and write the check and, you know, and put the key to the door and say, here's a blank slate that we have to build and we've got to make it into something, you know.
Share with us how you make decisions, Dave. Do you rely on your emotions or math to guide you?
No, my decisions have always been, when it comes to anything I go forward with, it's what's the goal. I always go with the goal and I work backwards to the beginning. And as long as I can see the path, then I go forward. If I can check off the boxes that'll get me to the goal, I'll move forward on anything in life, whether it's personal or business, you know. So and of course I gotta have some passion for it. So.
Great, thanks. Great answer. If you could go back in time and do one thing over again, what would it be?
Gosh, I can't think of what that would be. One thing over. Oh, I know what it'd be. That first business-wise, that first building is—it's kind of crazy. It's off the beaten path, and the guy that originally started that shop—not the guy I bought it from, but his cousin was the original one. It was out in the middle of nowhere, and I can't imagine walking to a place that was in the middle of nowhere and saying people will come out to this and get, you know, auto repair done. But it was a little CarQuest parts store and repair shop, and the guy originally had a gas station. He moved it to this spot, and it was way out in the middle of nowhere. And of course, people would show up every day, and it was just amazing to me that we'd open the doors and we people would just show up, and we're 2-3 days booked always back in that reactive breakdown a lot era. And we had this big parking lot, we'd pull cars in every night. So when I built that building, my thought was, well, people already know where I am, so let's build it right next door. Right?
You invested in a location maybe you shouldn't have.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it's been very, very successful, and it's doing very well. But thinking what I know now, because the other shop I built was on a very much, you know, main road when it comes to marketing. You know, if you're off the beaten path, you put a lot of money into things like internet and AdWords and all that. If you're on the beaten path, then a lot of your advertising can be done on the building as people drive by. So it depends on. So just from a standpoint of where it's at now, value-wise, and how hard it was to grow back then, I probably would have moved another mile to a main road as opposed to where it is now. But that's the only thing I can really think of. You know, I really have no regrets. My life has been unbelievable. I mean, I can't, you know, I'm so lucky to know the people I know. I mean, I'm talking to you because of the people I know.
I mean, yeah, I know. We had a great connection here. Thanks to Margaret. Yeah. So what's your escape?
My escape is golf.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm a huge golfer.
Handicap is?
7.
Ooh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, but I'm like the most unconfident 7 you've ever seen in your life. I still knee knock over 4-foot putts, so it's. but yeah, that's my passion is golf, and then just hanging out with my unbelievable son, who's a way better kid than I ever.
All right, so how old is he?
He's 13 now. He's,
oh boy.
He still hadn't turned into the monster I hear people talk about. He's still, you know, he's one of these incredible kind kids, and as smart as he is, he's, you know, great student, straight A's, and advanced stuff and all the stuff you hear. And he's a great athlete. He plays select baseball and does basketball and tennis and all this stuff. The most proud of that kid I am is he's won a couple of awards in the last couple of years, and all of them to do with being elected like a kind person and a leader type person, you know, without being prompted. You know, he's got he's the athlete that gets picked first in the teams for the most part, but he always makes sure the guy that doesn't ever play he picks that kid, you know. So he's a great kid, and hopefully he'll continue to be that way.
Well, where did he learn it from?
His mom. I can give all the credit to her. My wife is an incredible woman.
So you were able to take your entrepreneurial experience and be involved with certain boards. Now, maybe you can't talk about them, but what are you doing extracurricular?
So as far as the I can talk about the boards for sure. The NAPA Auto Care Advisory Board.
You're still on it?
No, not at the moment. I was, it's a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
So that one's done. The things I'm still involved with are. My 20 group called Mastermind. That's an ATI 20 group. We meet 3 times a year. We do shop visits where we go out and break up into groups and critique the layout, paperwork, critique all that. So we're able to help shops within our group that way and learn a lot. I've actually become a teacher. So that's through that Leadership 2.0 class. if people don't know about that, it's a 2-week leadership class. It's a 2 1-week set. 1-week session split apart, and the second one between the two, you have a group you work with to do a project, and ours was on telematics. We won the thing, which was fantastic, but that led to teaching for that class for another class that Northwood University has called Aftermarket 101. So if you can imagine all the different people that come into our pipeline in our business, whether it's supply chains or trade, you know, whatever the. They're somewhat new. They don't know anything about our business and how big it is. It's billions of dollars across all the different aftermarkets. So my job is to go in and teach them in real basic 101 type stuff. What is a shop? You know, top to bottom. How's it structured? Generally, how are people paid? All the hurdles. So it's
and where do you go to teach that?
Detroit. Yeah. So that one's at the Federal Mogul Building.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I've told a lot of people that, and that's one of my proudest things in life that I get to go pass on knowledge, and it's a great time. It's a little nerve wracking the first couple of times I did it, but it kind of got smoothed out, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Well, Federal Mogul is our sponsor, and it's great that you're going to their facility to do this. And I'm also an alum with you. Before it was called Leadership 2.0, it was called 2010, and back. In the early part of the first decade of the millennial, our project was on telematics.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
Way back then. It was, you know, hell, we didn't have any aftermarket telematics back then, but it was all about OnStar and where all that connectivity was going to lead. Yeah, it was a blast. It was one of the best things I ever did. And if anyone who's listening within the sound of our voices has a chance to do Leadership 2.0, and I know they're even thinking of even some bigger stuff in the future, too, so that's great. Well, look, I had a blast talking to you. It's very educational. A former shop owner that's continuing to have his toes dipped very deeply in the industry, as you know, in what you're participating in, and also going to work for a company called Hire Frederick. And, man, we probably need to know more about that in maybe another episode, Dave. Maybe you'll come back.
Sure, love to go over it, and you know, if anybody wants to know more about it, just hook me up.
Maybe I'll put the website address on the show notes page.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
So, some final Dave Erb words to live by.
Words to live by: don't regret, don't be afraid to knock down the door, walk through it, and helping people is the best reward I can say I've ever gotten out of the shop industry.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Hey guys and gals, thank you so much for listening. Find additional show notes and special links related to Dave Erb on the show notes page on Remarkable Results Radio. And that's also the place where you can subscribe to be an insider and get the pulse on every new episode release, industry links, and resources. Hey, I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Uniting our industry for continual improvements is a goal, and I'm grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.